Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. It's a beautiful day today. We got some snow last night. I tell you, this has been not bad though, not like up north where they really have snow that is crippling the driveways and things of that nature, but just thank God that it's not any worse than what it is, but it's pretty coming down. Well, the sun is out today, so that's a blessing, and get to look at it and not have the mess. So, good morning, mothers and daughters from around the world. It's a great, great day. Thank God that he's given me another opportunity to serve him. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody?
Oh, man, I'm fine. I'm fine. I cannot complain. Just grateful. Just grateful. A lot of wisdom and understanding and growth is going on over here. How was your week?
Well, week was, I don't even know. It was a busy one. And at some point, if I could be honest, it was a slightly overwhelming. And I had to regroup and, you know, ask God, give me what I need. But remember what I was talking about last week, if only you could carry it. You know, sometimes it's, do you want to carry it, Deborah? You know, like, Lord, if there's any other way, do I have to do this? Jesus said, if any other way, can you take this cup from me, Lord? Nevertheless, let your will be done. And so it was one of them type of weeks, you know. And I was just sitting here thinking when you said, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I was saying, just be honest. It beat you down at some point, and you had that thought of, you know, I'm going to start looking, you know. I'm going to go on LinkedIn, you know. Yeah, be honest. I'm going to be honest, you know. It was that type, but then I said, Lord, just help me, and just help me, you know, just help me. Any dude, all the time, so. It was one of them type of weeks, if I can be honest. That's what I really just be honest about it.
And the truth will set you free. You know, mm-hmm. And I think everybody have those weeks. I have them, and I work for myself. Sometimes I'll be like, now, where are you going? Where are you going? I mean, if I went and got a job, I couldn't, because I'll know I would be leaving the only employer that I got to face at the end of my journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because I work for God. So I'm going to leave God, go over here and work for somebody else when he already gave me an assignment. See, we already placed. He placed you where you are. He knew that he raised you up to experience what you're experiencing, to be able to deal with the clientele that you're dealing with. But with persecutions and challenges and things of that nature, then that's to make us give up, try to faint on our journey. And so when we get to that point, and it's good you to say, Lord, help me. That's all I can do is say, Holy Spirit, help me to stay strong. Help me to stay focused, you know. And sometimes I just have to back away and sometimes just take a day and basically sit around and do nothing, because I do that 24-hour thing. I can do a 20-hour run just about, you know, on the computer doing this and doing that, going to bed 12 and 1 o'clock, waking back up 6 or 7. And after a while, you know, it just gets to you. You're just like, okay, today I'm just going to sit and look. It's not that you say it. It's just that your body just going to take over, you know, and just going to do. We're not doing nothing today. I mean, you got things that's going to pop up. I'm just talking about structured things. Because if you have a list of 20 things on your to-do list, if you get 3 of them done, you would have made a major accomplishment, because the 3 on your list that you got done, and then you got the other 15 that just popped up that you didn't even know was going to happen. And so you're really accomplishing more than you think you're accomplishing. But anyway, mothers and daughters out there, we're just sharing our life and keeping it real, really, you know, so that you don't think that we come on here with a perfect recipe, and every time we bake up something, it works perfect, and we are never ever challenged. Well, that's not true. We're all challenged. Well, this morning, I'm gonna let you do the prayer. Cynthia's not with us this morning. Cynthia is traveling today, so we're gonna say hello, Cynthia. Happy travels, safe travels, and Deb and I will keep walking on down this journey. You want to do the prayer, Deborah?
Amen. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning, giving us what we need to push on, even when the body say enough. We thank you for that rejuvenation of the spirit, of the mind, of the soul. We thank you for all that you do. You're so great. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being the great I am. We thank you. We praise you. We lift you up. We glorify you, because we know through you we can do all things. Thank you for allowing us to do these things. Thank you for using us. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you. The little things, the big things, things in between. We just thank you. We just thank you. We just praise you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell you a little bit about my week. Got a lot done. Got a lot done. A lot of papers all over the place with notes on it. Things to get done. So I shuffle papers. Yeah. And then I write some more notes. I said, Lord, I've got to get me a better system. So I just write notes here and then the other. You know those stickies? I could be a sticky wall person, you know, where I could do a whole wall of stickies with notes and put it here, that, and the other. So I try not to even use those, because I can get overwhelmed with those. So then I have these little half sheets of paper that I write stuff down on, and I got them all over the place. And then I got to go back and check and see if I done this one, see if I done that. And just kind of like unorganized, but organized in my own way, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But we got a lot of things done. I got a lot of things done this week. Had a lot of time of talking with the Lord and being given wisdom in areas and enlightenment in other areas, But the Lord didn't lighten up on me this week. He kept sending assignments. He kept sending someone, talk this one off the roof, talk this one off the bridge, you know, pray with this one, pray for that one. It's been one of those kind of weeks. And I just said to him, I said, Lord, you know what? In spite of my trials and tribulations, you don't care about that, because he's like, just because you're going through don't mean you can't help somebody else, because I know you got it in you, and I know you're capable of doing it. I just need to speak to them through your body. And that's what he's doing this week. They're just speaking to people calling and this, that, and the other. And had a lot of counseling this week. And one lady said, well, I hated to bother you. And I said, well, you're not bothering me, because that's what I do. I mean, I work for the Lord. And so when you work for someone and you got a client that comes, then that's part of your job. So don't feel bad to call me, because he told you to call me. And some people just call out of the blue, says, you know. And God had told me about this lady to call her on Wednesday, and I got twisted up with my little stuff, running around trying to do some stuff. And a lady called me on Thursday. Now, this is a person that only has ever called me one other time, and that was at a business, it was part of a business meeting. And she just called out of the blue when God had told me to call her on Wednesday. And I told her, I said, I know you probably think this is some kind of cliche. You know how people say, I was going to call you today. You'd be like, yeah, right. I told her, I said, but I really was. I said, I should have called you yesterday. She said, well, and I told her, I said, the Lord gave me a word for you. And so I told her, she said, yeah, he told me to call you. And so I knew that was God, because we don't even know each other that well, a couple of meetings, but God placed her on my heart and placed her on her heart, and because he had a word he wanted to give her. And I could tell she was like, thank you. That's what I needed. I knew I was coming for something. So this week has just been a blessed week. And I just thank God, because out of every person that he spoke to through me, I learned something. I was elevated in wisdom, and I got something that I needed out of it. This one lady was like, wow. I said, I just got a message myself that I got to go. After I got through talking to her, I said, now I got to go in here and attend to what he enlightened me on myself as he was talking to you. Does that make sense to you? Am I making sense to you?
Oh, yeah. Because sometimes he do use a message to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. And I'm in that space now where he's really fine-tuning me, getting me ready for the next level. And so I just thank God. I mean, it's as old folks say, it's tight, but it's right. you know, you don't want to, like you say, do I have to go through this? You don't want to go through it. Mm-hmm. But you realize, you know, that's what Jesus said, but he went through, and we ain't going through nothing compared to what he went through. But it's just like, okay, Lord, whoo, Lord, when we get into the other side of this, you know. But you're still breathing, you're still healthy, and you're still making it. So today, Deborah, the Lord wants us to talk about mothers and daughters, remember your miracles.
Wow.
And everybody has, huh?
Just saying, wow. You hit me as soon as you said it.
Yeah, remember your miracles. And we had a conversation this morning. And that's where a lot of us are missing it, Deborah. That's where we're missing it. So I'm going to go in and share what the Lord wants to share, and then I'll come back and pick you up, okay?
Okay.
Mothers and daughters out there around the world, as you heard me say to Deborah, if you just came on, our topic this morning is mothers and daughters, remember your miracles. And I say miracles with an S. You know, most people looking for a miracle and not knowing they've had so many miracles. Every day you have miracles performing in your life. So I want you to just think of one miracle, one thing that you know that you could not have gotten past, gotten out of, gotten through it without Jesus Christ. Think of one thing. That's what all I want you to think of today. Just one thing. You don't have to think of all the miracles, but think of something that's so rememberable, so powerful, that when you think about it, it's just like something moves in your spirit, because you know that you know that you know that you know it was God through Jesus Christ that brought you through that. And then we're going to talk about how to take that miracle to create other miracles. My Lord, my Lord. Miracles, and I'm not reading it from a definition, I'm just going straight from my spirit. Miracles are those things that happen unexpectedly, suddenly. You hear people say, you're going to get a sudden. Just wait on that sudden. It's going to happen. Just suddenly it's going to happen. Just suddenly it's going to pop up. Or, you know, it just comes out of nowhere. Unexpected. Unexpected. And all of a sudden, you have a substance that has come into reality. And then you have the evidence of the substance that has come into reality. Let me say it that way. So when I think about mothers and daughters, remember your miracles. It reminds me, I even said some of it last week. There's so many things that's happening in our lives that are good. God only gives you good. He sent Jesus to tell you that God is good. And sometimes you hear the people say, God is good all the time. And then somebody else will say, and all the time, God is good. And I know it became a cliche in a way, and I know a lot of people say it because it's trendy and it rolls right off of your tongue. But when you say it, do you believe it? What does it mean to you when you say God is good? Do you want to join in on the statement just to let people know, I know that particular statement. God is good all the time. Yeah, and all the time, God is good. God is good all the time. Yeah, and all the time, God is good. God is good all the time. Yeah, and all the time, God is good. You see, it's like, hello, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Hello, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Hello, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? And those two things sound alike. Because if you really got into God is good. God is good. You don't have to put the other things to it, the adjectives to it. Just God is good. Think about it. Say it. God is good. That's it. That's a complete statement, complete sentence. Nothing needs to be added to it. Because good is good. It doesn't change. No matter where you are in the 24 hours a day, God is good. That's it. But you need to know why you're saying God is good. What are you basing that on when you say God is good? What evidence do you have to support your belief that God is good? Think about that. Now, if we could get that, you get the evidence, get you a piece of paper, draw your line down the middle of the paper, and at the top, right, God is good. And write down 10 things that make you say or support what you're saying when you say God is good. Write those 10 things down. And then on the other side, write down 10 things where you say, God is not good. Ten things that you believe God is not good. And then you're going to look at those. And if you really know that God is good, you got evidence to support all 10 of those things that God is good, you shouldn't have anything on the other side. Because he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I was good yesterday, I'm good today, and I'm good tomorrow. That's what people get all the time attached to it. God is good all the time. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, God is. Now, when you're talking about, okay, well, what does that got to do with our topic, Dr. Bessie? You said something about some miracles. I did. And I asked you to think about a miracle, one that stands out in your spirit. So let's talk about miracles. And when you get your miracle, just follow through and think about your miracle. Something that you spent time praying on your knees, walking the floor, crying, begging, pleading, hoping, asking God, where are you? Why, God? Why do I have to go through this? Why, God, do you not see me, God? You said, God, and you start quoting things that God said. And you said this and you said that, and you're a man that can't lie, God. Where are you? And he says, I'm right here. I need a miracle. And you're so busy asking for a miracle that you really don't believe that you're going to receive the miracle. Because if you really believe you're going to receive the miracle, you wouldn't be begging, crying, asking, rolling on the floor, acting like a little kid having a tantrum, because then he's just going to look at you and say, that doesn't move me, Bessie. See, I had that conversation with God. 2010. And I was determined that God needed to move. He needed to move then. I need you to hear me. I serve you. Oh, I try to justify. I am this, 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 and this. Because, see, we go back and we look at somebody else's miracles, and then we try to take their miracle, and then we try to cash it in. We try to bring that to God. So I was looking at Malachi. I think it was Malachi. Where God changed his mind and gave him 15 more years to live, because he turned his face as well and said, Lord, I'm good. I done worked for you, and I done all you told me to do, and I don't understand why you want me to come back now when I done served you. I'm serving you. I'm a good person. I'm this, that, and the other. I'm paraphrasing. But you can imagine, just put yourself in there. You know how you ramble off to God? Well, he's so different. He was probably rambling off. But he said something that touched the heart of God. And God told the prophet, turn around, go back, and tell him, I'll give him 15 more years. That was his miracle. So I was trying to take that miracle, spin it with God, to buy me a miracle. And you may say, well, Dr. Fletcher, that's what the Bible's all about. The Bible's about telling us so we can use that to know that we can go to God and ask for the same thing. But see, you cannot spend someone else's life. You cannot spend their miracles. You cannot spend their blessings. You cannot spend their relationship with God. Those are just history moments to let you know God was good then, back in those days. And then he came up to now, the present, and gave us Jesus. Jesus was the present, and the present is now. And we're in now. So we can't use past miracles, someone else's life, even today. That's the trend. If someone else is doing something, everybody wants to do the same thing. If there's a new hairstyle, everybody wants to wear it. If there's a new dress, pair of pants, everybody wants to do it, because what they do. The enemy will pick the people that supposedly to be front runners, influencers. That word can be dangerous. Influencers, influencing you to do what? Follow Christ? I'm an influencer of Christ. But you got influencers out here that will tell you about somebody else's product, and you think, oh, she's rich and she's well known and she's on television and, oh, everybody likes her and da 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 da, and if she's doing it, I'm going to do it. There's one young lady I look at television where they're fixing homes and doing different projects. And everybody comes on, I want a closet like so-and-so. Now here this person got millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, can build a closet, can take a whole house and make a closet. And you want a closet, you buying a house that's a few pennies, but you don't want the house because it don't have a closet like so-and-so. You can't live her life. That's her life. And you don't know how she got what she's got. So, don't be influenced by the wrong influencer. Let Jesus be your influencer. So now, when we're talking about remembering your miracles, that's what you can spend. That's your money. I'll say that's your currency. Your miracles, your past miracles are your currencies. That's what you can bring that back to the table, and you can negotiate with Jesus with that. That was my lesson with Jesus. Because a lot of times when I'm going back and forth, you know, we're always trying to figure out, do we have enough faith? Because you keep saying faith is what moves God. Do I have enough faith? You have the same amount of faith because God gave every man the same measure of faith. But yet we get into debating in our intro conversations, those ongoing conversations in our head, we get in a conversation with a non-influencer of good and allow those conversations to overtake us, to blind us from the truth. And the truth is, by his stripes, you are healed. But if you get caught up into this conversation, the enemy wants you to just go to bat with him. He'll beat you down, all that crying and begging and stuff that you think you're doing. That's because you're beaten down in your intro conversations and you're worn out and you're so tired you don't know you was in a war and you was fighting and he just slapped you around. But if you can just pull one of your miracles out, you will find your faith. And the one that Jesus showed me was my feet. When I had the problem with my feet, and I didn't tell anybody, both feet turned really, really, really dark. And it looked like it came up to my ankle. It looked like I had on a pair of light black, some black socks, or I'll say dark gray socks. I'll say it like that. I couldn't figure out what it was. And then all of a sudden, it was like an infection and a little hole formed in my left foot to the left. And it created until it got to the size of a like a dime. I bought everything I could think about. I bandaged. I prayed over it. I done everything. Changed the Band-Aid. I said, Lord, I didn't know. I was not going to tell my daughter, because I knew she would want me to go to the doctor. And I knew if I went to the doctors, they were going to say, you know, we're going to have to cut both of your feet off, because that's how bad it looked. And the only thing that conversation was, oh, you got gangrene. You got gangrene. I said, you're a liar. I do not. So that's why sometimes you just have to keep your mouth closed and you have to talk to Jesus. Let him be your influencer. Look at what he has done. Be influenced by that. That'll build your faith. But oh, one night, I must have just got to the point where, I don't know, I looked at it and I point my finger at it and I said, by morning, you will close up. And that, I had a little piece of skin hanging out of it. I'd say about half an inch. Just hanging out, terrible looking. I said, you will dry up. And I told him that I said, you're going to come out, you're going to dry up, and the hole, you're going to close up by morning. Now, that wasn't in crying, begging and rolling along. It wasn't that. I just spoke to it. And I just said, that's what you're going to do. When I wake up in the morning, you're going to be closed up. I went to bed. Woke up the next morning, took the sock off. The skin had came off, dried up like it had been in there for months. And a baby layer of skin had covered that hole. Now you talking about, I was like, what? See, faith comes in the split second when you get relaxed, when you least expect. Faith is not going to come when you're upset, when your energy level is high. It's not coming in the trauma. Faith comes where there's peace. And somewhere along the line, I had peace. I had faith, I had everything, the energy, everything was working for that split second of that conversation. I don't know if I know it was going to happen or not. I said it and I can remember saying it even to this day. I got up the next morning and I went through with that for over 4 months. I got up the next morning and I was shouting and thanking God. And all of a sudden, my feet started lightening up. Lighten it up. Because I used to put makeup on my feet. When I wore shoes that you could see, I'd put makeup on my feet. So you couldn't tell the difference. So now where am I going with this? The Holy Spirit just reminded me of that miracle. And I look at the trials and tribulations right now that's in my life. And he said, you could spend you got a miracle. You know, you've seen the work. And then he took me to John 10:38. And it says, but if I do them, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. So Jesus is saying, even if you don't believe in me, this is what he was telling them. Because, you know, there was, you know, the Jews, they were questioning him. How can you do this? Talking about you one with God. They saw the works now. They could not. And this came from Lazarus. When he went in and the Jews came, Mary and Martha went running and told Jesus, you know, well, let me just back up just a little bit for those who may not know the story. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And Lazarus got sick. His sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent a message to Jesus and asked him to come because their brother was very, very sick. Jesus was about his father's business, and he decided, I'll go later. And he waited. Now, I'm sure God was telling him, not now, because Jesus loved Lazarus. That was his friend. You could tell they had a deep relationship, and I'll tell you why. So they said 2 days later, oh, well, you know, he's dead, really. Well, Jesus said he's not dead, he's sleeping. That's what he told his disciples. And they said, well, you know, Master, if he's sleeping, he'll be all right. You know, it's amazing how the disciples try to tell Jesus what to do. It's on occasion because they really didn't know who he was. They was walking with him, and they didn't know. That's why he kept trying to tell them, do I have to be with you always, be to know who I am? Do you not know who I am? You see the works? And you still don't know? But they would tell him what to do. Oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go to his house, you know, for his little girl. Or you shouldn't do this. You know, he knew they didn't know any better. So he was trying to raise them up. So when he told me they're not to go, he said, well, he just sleep. Well, if he sleep, then master, you don't have to worry about it. He's good. You know, he'll wake up and pay. But they didn't know what he knew. And after 4 days, he decided, or 2 days, he decided to head his way. By the time he got there, it was 4 days. And Martha, the sister of Lazarus, said, well, you know, master's too late. If you'd been here, he would not have died. He said, well, he's not dead. But Jesus cried. That lets you know that Lazarus was his friend. He actually cried and groaned in his spirit. And he said, now the Jews is watching him. And he rolled the stone away because he's in the tomb 4 days. She said, well, I know he's stinking. Don't worry about it. And he called him out, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus got up, all wrapped up in his burial clothes, came out. He said, cut him loose and let him go. They went home. Martha went in and fixed some food. They all sat at the tables, and Lazarus was raised from the dead. So what Jesus is saying to the Jews, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, that I am one with God, then believe the works. You saw the works. You saw him dead. You saw him in his burial clothes. You saw him in a tomb. You saw that. You heard me call his name. And you saw the dead come alive in front of your eyes. And yet you don't believe that I am who I say that I am? Well, if you don't believe me, believe in the works. So that's what I'm saying to you today, mothers and daughters. Look at a miracle. And when you cannot muster up enough faith to where you're feeling comfortable to say, I got faith in this, then go back to your miracle. And that's what I did. I went back to my miracle on my feet and said, you know what? I believe in the works. Because I saw it with my own eyes. That was the evidence. And I believe in you, Jesus. Unlike the Jews, they believed in the works, but they didn't believe in the man. They didn't believe that he was God in a body here on the earth. It was hard for them to do that. They could not put the two together. But if you believe in the works because you know what he has done for you, nobody can tell you what he has done. Nobody can tell you what it felt like when you realized that you had a miracle that God had moved in your life. Nobody knows what that feels like but you and God. Now you take that miracle and you take that faith, that feeling, that belief. Your faith was the feelings. You felt something. You take that feeling and you apply it to everything that you believe God to do for you. That's your currency. That's your faith. And you can spin it every time. You can spin it every time. And it'll purchase whatever you lay it down on. That's why he said, when you pray, believe. Or let's just go with when you say a thing. And believe it in your heart and don't doubt it. That's Mark 11, I think it's 24. Mark 11, 24. I do 22, 23, and 24. 22 is have faith in God. And then 23 is if you speak to a mountain, tell it be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it will be thou removed. But 24 tells you whatever you say, and believe in your heart and don't doubt it, you shall have what you say. So if you go back and get your miracle, and you take your miracle that you know, that you know, that you know, that you saw it with your own eyes, you felt it in your heart and your spirit, that's your currency. So every time something come up that you need a miracle from God, you take your currency and bring it before God. God, I bring this currency. And I want to spend this currency. I want to spend the same faith. Keep in mind, everybody's got the same measure of faith. I want to spend my faith on this that I'm asking you for. And I believe that it's done. And I will see the works. I will see the works. And on top of that, I believe in Jesus Christ. So you got a double whammy. You believe that he is the Son of God. You believe that he was sent to do the work. And you know he came to do the work because you saw the work. You was an example. You was an experimentation of the work. So that's your influencer, not the world. God sent you Jesus to influence you to believe that he is good. Praise the Lord. All right, Deborah. Woo, thank you.
Amen. That's your influence. I tell you, I got so much, but I think I want to just keep it simple because, like you say, when you in a situation and you can't see your way through, pray your way through, cry your way through, just look back over your life on some of the miracles he already performed, because God's saying, I'm building a resume with you. I am going to show you. If you keep up with the pattern and the map of your life, how I carried you, how I delivered you, how I performed miracles to set you free, Deborah. And so as you were speaking, I said, okay, Lord, you've done so many. What would you have me to say? So at the bottom of the page is where I'm going to go, talking about miracles. I said, let me bring it really, really down to earth. I remember when I was in my mess, and this particular day I was out on the block on 79th for the people that might know the area of Miami, and I was scheming and hustling, you know, trying to get a dollar. And the police will come by and say, no lottery and no this and no that. And if I come back again, I'm going to take you in. And, you know, all the threats they give you to tell you to keep it moving. And so this particular day, I was with a friend girl that I had met doing the same thing. The police came and she got both of us. And so she put my friend in the car. And laid out all her paraphernalia and her illegal contraband stuff that she had on her person. And she laid all that out, and she was beginning to talk to me at the back of the car, just standing there. And she said to me, God is telling me not to take you to jail. And she said, there's something about you that you don't even fit in with doing what you're doing. You don't even fit in. And so make the story short, she said, can I pray for you? Now, we talking about a police officer, not that they don't pray, but we talking about making a citizen arrest. We talking about done violated the law. We talking about done gave me warning time and time again to keep it moving. So she gets on the phone to call somebody, and I'm saying, well, what you going to do? She go, you know, I'm thinking, like, she's not going to tell you not to take me to jail, but what you finna do? You finna call somebody. So she says, I'm going to call my sister in Christ. Come on out. And she's a police officer. So she dispatched the lady. The lady came. Now it's two cars, and it's a big old scene now. And you got my friend in the bike seat watching all of this. So they got me standing on the catty corner of 81st, and I said 79th, but it's the one way, 81st and 6th. And they begin to lay hands on me. I'm not talking about lay handcuffs on me. I'm talking about hand on my stomach. You got two police officers got me on the corner laying hands on me. That was a miracle because I ain't never, ever seen nobody in a uniform laying hands on nobody other than laying handcuffs on them. And says, God wants to pray for you. And they prayed for me and laid hands on me and tried to get me delivered to or whatever that demonic thing was. There was rule in my life. Lay hands on me and gave me a card for the church that they go to and told me to go and sin no more and set me free on the corner. And all the cars was riding by. And I'm talking about you got one this way, one that way. They both got their hands on my stomach and praying. What no short prayer I'm talking about. They was praying for me. And I'm just saying how sometimes, like Peter, and I think it was Peter, I was reading it was Peter and John with the lame man that had been 40 years from the mother womb, couldn't walk, was begging, was out there hustling people for stuff. And Jesus will use anybody to perform a miracle if we open to it.
Yes.
That's why I'm born with it. Because sometimes God don't just say it, speak it, and do it. He will send somebody that he says that we need to be open-minded to and allow God to use them to get a word to us, to deliver us from what we're going through.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said, it don't always come, it ain't going to come drop down and come down like manna. That was straight from heaven. He fed them straight from heaven. He said, sometimes already on the land. And I just need you, W, to be open. And I was open because I didn't want to go to jail. I was real open to it. And then I was in a backslidden state. So that meant that God was carrying me through my mess. Mm-hmm. And he says, if you could just let me get you where you need to be, I will use you to tell other people about how I'm able. Because sometimes people don't even see the miracles because they just consider it a coincidence or I was lucky. No. Come on, somebody. God says, I'm going to build your faith. That's just a small one for the sake of time. And let me just say this other one about how God, the lady told me, God told me not to take you to jail. Now, my friend in the bike seat witnessed all of that, and it probably blew her mind because she really didn't know that I was from Broward and I was out here hiding out like Jonah, if I had to jump on the boat running from the mission, thinking these people rubbing their butt. But what about you, Deborah?
Mm-hmm.
Have you missed some miracles? Have you been out of place or not aligned with what God is wanting to do? Because sometimes we miss the miracle because we're not in position to receive it. Heart
Amen.
Ain't right. Hold on to something that ain't godly. You know, unforgiveness going to block your blessing, going to block your miracle. He said, I can
Amen.
Do work, but I can't work if you got stuff clouding your heart. So the message
Amen.
Today for me is keep the heart clean of forgiveness. Unforgiveness.
Amen.
God says, I'll forgive you as you forgive others. Sometimes we ain't seeing nothing. We ain't receiving nothing because the heart ain't right.
Right.
He says, look, I judge the heart of man. You might look like this and look like that, and people might see you from the outside and judge you and think this and that. God said, I judge the heart. And sometimes we miss our blessings and our miracles because the heart ain't right. Let it go. Whatever. I tell you, if I got it, it's I got some stuff that I could be holding on to that I think people done me wrong. But what about who I done wrong in my life? Because there ain't always somebody doing me wrong. Well, we don't get, in God's eyes, he said, you're all like filthy rags. But don't go looking at your neighbor, looking at the person across the street, or the person on your job, or the person over in the store. Don't be looking at them like they are so out of line. But what about the thought that you're having about them is out of line? So keep your heart clean. And this last one, I'm going to say, I remember one time the same neighborhood just diagonally across the street. The one night I was going, trying to make it home, been up for days, and then trying to make it home and mess around and ran into a pole with my head down, sleepwalking now, 2 a.m, sleepwalking, hit my head, and the pole knocked me out cold. I was laying out on the sidewalk. I was out. And a man came by, a preacher. And he was at the red light, and he had to turn around because it was a one-way. He said, God told me to come back and check on you. I could have died. But thank God for using people to perform miracles. I could have died. It was 2 in the morning. I was laid out. Came and shook me and got me up and prayed for me. And he said, God told me to come back and check on you.
Wow.
God was sent people. You know, I could have died. I hit the top of my head. It hit me so hard, it knocked me. It laid me out. And I was laying there. Them just two incidents in the same block. And the people saying, God told me. So there's times that God is going to tell some people to do some stuff for you. Be open to it. Because the miracle might not come like you want it to come. And God is trying to build a resume with you to show you that I got you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. To seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and the rest shall be added. So whatever you need, God knows you need it before you need it. He said, remember, I wrote the book of your life. I know the end before the beginning. There's nothing surprising about me. I'm just showing you what you made of so you may come to realize that this thing that I'm holding, I need to surrender all. He said, I ain't surprised when you go left. I'm not surprised when you go right. I know where you're going. I'm trying to show you, Like the lady said, deliver me from me so I won't be blocking my own blessings and my own miracles. Thank you for letting me share. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Whew, this is powerful. This message has definitely got to go out. I got to figure out how to get this thing out because this is the answer. People can get this. There's no lack in your faith because you know for yourself. Now, when you look back, Deborah, and you those two examples that you talked about, not knowing you would be here on this radio this morning, sharing those miracles to bless someone else, not knowing where God is sending us. We don't even have a clue where he's sending us. But this is still part of the preparation for where we're going. But this is a major, major point in what God wants us to do.
Amen.
You there? Yeah.
Amen.
This is it. This is powerful. Lord, do you know our time is up, Deborah? I tell you. Mothers and daughters out there, you know, I mean, please, you hear it, pass it on. This is a message that everybody should hear. Jesus is our influencer. If you want to get a cliche going, get that going. I'm going to pass it around. Jesus is my influencer. I'll be right back, Deborah. Amen.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, Deborah, that's our show. Thank you so very much.
Amen. Praise God. Oh,
I tell you, that's powerful. That you know, I've heard preachers say, preach myself happy. That is just preach my soul happy. My soul. I could feel the spirit just, it just rise up. It's still up inside of me. Whew, thank you, Jesus. All right, Deborah, as always, I love you. It's always a pleasure. Audience out there, we'll talk to you later. And we'll see you next Saturday morning. Tell your friends, come by. Have a blessed week. Love you, Deborah.
Love you too. Bye, audience.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.